This is the Beat Your Genes podcast, and my name is Nate G. I've created this podcast to bridge together the science of evolutionary psychology and the clinical experience of Dr. Doug Lyle, all so that we can discover what life is all about. In each episode, Dr. Lyle analyzes and explains the psychology behind real-life situations from our listeners on topics like romance, friendship, work, family, health, and many more. We broadcast live every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which means you can call us during the show and ask Dr. Lyle a question. The U.S. number is 657-383-0751, or send in your question through the website, www.beatyourgenes.org.
All right. So it's Jesse?
Yes, Jesse.
Very good. Well, thanks for calling. Tell me a story. What are we working on? What are we trying to get better?
Okay, so I have been single for a little over a year now. I was in a 12-year relationship. I entered the dating world. I started dating probably November of last year, and It's been kind of a nightmare. But so I guess where I should start is I found Chef AJ and you and Dr. Goldhammer a couple of years back. So I kind of live the lifestyle. I mean, I eat how Chef AJ eats, and I quit drinking alcohol. I don't know. It's been on and off for the past couple of years, but pretty much off for 2 years. When I started dating again, I had friends tell me, well, how are you going to go on dates? Like, you don't eat like normal people. You won't go out and have a drink. Like, what are you going to do? And I thought, oh my goodness, they're right. So I made the decision in my mind that I was like, okay, I can go out and have a drink with a date and that'll be fine. But the problem is, I guess it's kind of this dance I've been doing between my internal audience and then the village, I guess, so to speak. So my internal audience was going like, this is terrible. Like, you know what this is doing to your body. And plus, I've always been hypersensitive or hyper conscientious about the fluctuations in my weight. And I, in my mind, I said, well, I'll just tell myself, so what if it's a couple pounds, like it's worth it for me to just feel normal. Cause sometimes I feel so abnormal for living the way that I live. But I did actually, I said, okay, well, what would Dr. Lyle tell me to do? So I ran an experiment and I said, I'll see how I feel. And at the end of December, I felt really just rotten and terrible. And I felt that kind of self-disgust just with myself. And so it's kind of been this tug and pull where I don't know what's more important, I guess, because it seems like I had one guy tell me, I kind of mentioned it was towards the end when I said, okay, I'm not going to go and drink anymore on dates. Like, I'm just going to be upfront about this is kind of my lifestyle now. And I had one guy tell me, oh, I'm sorry, like, I'm looking for somebody fun. And then I thought, like, that really crushed me. And it was interesting because your last podcast, you were talking about the pseudo esteem. And I thought, well, why is this so important to me when I've never even met this guy? But then I've also had guys make comments about, you know, like being grilled about the way that I eat or things like that. So I guess that's my first question is I don't know what's more important is my internal, because I also feel it, I think, a little bit more than others because I'm overly agreeable, or I lean towards being more agreeable. So it's very painful to me, I guess, when the village disapproves of what I'm doing or when I don't fit in. So that's kind of where I'm stuck at. And I don't know. My question is like the balance between my internal audience and then the feedback I'm getting from, you know, potential mates.
Right. So what we want to seek is a position of power. And position of power comes with thinking through the mental operations and thinking through the what would take place under the worst case scenario. And once we have we have really thought that through and we analyze what we would do under the worst case scenario, then we can proceed with a better understanding of what's at stake. So what we try to do is we try to minimize the conflict in our values. So we've got what's important to us. There's usually more than one thing at once, and oftentimes they're pushing against each other. So you would want to be viewed as easygoing by potential mates because you are easygoing and agreeable. So you want to demonstrate that. And if they quote, you know, i.e. a person that's fun rather than maybe prim, proper, controlling, bitchy, you know, unimaginative and no openness. So in other words, you want to have an advertisement that is a good facsimile or an ad that is going to match up pretty well with the truth. That's what you're trying to get across. You wouldn't want to be ruled out unnecessarily by somebody that misreads the cues. So that would be what I would consider the most direct plumb line, or the most that we want to walk, is we want to actually get the most accurate ad. And the problem is that now there's other, we have other motivations. So we have another motivation that would say, hey, don't compromise your, you know, how it is that you feel about yourself physically and how your internal audience feels about your choices. So that's another issue. And yet another issue is we would actually want to be accepted as being fun and unrestrictive and open and all this sort of thing. In other words, we would want to maximize our potential market in the mating market. So we've got actually multiple agendas. And what we want to do is we want to sort of think through what is the most appropriate compromise for those agendas. Would it be to show that we are open and relaxed and accepting and self-indulgent just like everybody else, in order to make sure that they don't make a mistake and see us as sort of bitchy and controlling and narrow and closed when we're not? Okay. Do we want to make sure we wide open first and then narrow it later around these more specific issues? So if we find somebody that we like, that would be one strategy. Okay. Another strategy would be to actually go to the effort of trying to get it communicated by our words and our other displays that the sort of narrowness and self-discipline that's involved in some of these diet and lifestyle choices does not extend itself to being judgmental and difficult generally. Okay, so that would be a more accurate portrayal, I would assume, as to what it is that we're trying to get across. So that takes a little more, essentially a little more possibly planning practice, and more than anything else, it requires an understanding of where we're trying to get to in these social interactions. Now, a position of power comes from when it is that we have looked at the worst case scenario and we figured out that we can live with it. So let's talk about this for a second. The worst case scenario would be that you were, if you were to do what would make your internal audience feel good and make you do things that would be, in other words, that you feel better physically and mentally as a result of it, largely, then it would be to be more self-disciplined about these issues. And the result could be that you could get rejected by a lot of people. So one of the things we need to think through is, okay, so we are. Okay, so what's the worst possible thing that could happen? So let's you and I think that through right now and think through if you come across as self-disciplined and restrictive in, quote, diet and lifestyle domains generally, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I don't know. I could not find anybody that finds that appealing, because it seems to be like off-putting to the large majority of people that I've come across. I mean, maybe not necessarily ones that I've actually met, but maybe they didn't meet, you know, my standards, so I moved on So yeah, I guess the worst possible scenario is me just being alone forever.
Yeah, that's the worst case scenario. Now let's change that up just a little bit. It's not as if we have a fork in the road and we have to take one fork and never go back and take the other fork. So for example, we could decide that we are going to present ourselves, you know, for the next 6 months on the next, you know, 10 guys that we meet, that we're going to present matter-of-factly and directly about how it is that we, you know, that we're not drinking alcohol and this is what it is that we eat. And that's how, that's just decisions we've made. Okay. And if they cross-examine us as to why, we could be ready in ways that would indicate that we're not judgmental about anybody else. And that's, you know, we could do that and we could see what happens. You know, if it turns out that all 10 just, you know, say, you know what, you seem like you're nice and everything, but I'm just afraid that you're going to be a controlling bitch. So even though I was super interested in you, it turns out that, that those decisions about your diet and lifestyle issues and how you communicated those, can't do it. Okay. Mm-hmm. If we get that feedback consistently from the market, then we can decide, not so good. You know, I mean, maybe that's too expensive of a strategy and we need to modify it. Right. So the last thing I care about is one dude who says that he wants somebody fun. Really? Okay. Go date a heroin addict hooker then. She's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Right? Do we care? What the hell do we care? Mm-hmm. Okay. So one of the things that we have to watch out for is the Stone Age brain thinking we've only got like 13 options. Mm-hmm. So feeling like we're in a tiny little village, and when one guy thinks negatively of us because we're no fun, he's going to tell all the other guys in the village that's his decision about us, and that's going to be our reputation. It's ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what town do you live in? Yeah. Somewhere more than 50,000 people?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you live in a place
in Ohio,
more than 50,
big town in Ohio.
Big town in Ohio. Okay. So none of these guys are ever going to know each other. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if they did, they're certainly not talking about you. And there's no reputational issue here. It's irrelevant. This is going to be a case by case, individual by individual basis. And if there's someone that was disturbed and offended by these lifestyle decisions, even though we are being smooth in how it is that we communicate that this is what we do and kind of a little bit as to why, then you know what, as far as I'm concerned, we'll see whether that we can live with the worst case scenario that every fool is going to be that way. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell you that from women on the other side of the equation, I know for sure they're not that judgmental because I've been out with a slew of them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I tell the waiter, no thanks, and I say, oh, would you like a glass of wine? And they have a glass of wine and I don't, and I get cross-examined, I just say, just something I've never been into. Real simple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just, sometimes I've been cross-examined about whether I ever had a drinking problem. Once in a blue moon, I'm cross-examined on that. And I say, nope, I'm just never into it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Done. Not a problem. And I'm telling you, if anybody said, well, I want somebody fun, I'd be like, hey, have at it.
Okay? So
there's about 900,000 other old geezers just like me. That you can pick from that are falling down drunk tonight here in the Bay Area. get lost.
Right.
Thank you. Thanks for signaling your utter lack of respect for your body.
Well, that's what I told myself. I said, well, in the long run, he really just saved me, 3 hours of my life that I would never get back because we probably would have nothing in common anyways. But so basically, I don't need to be forthcoming about, offer that information up until I'm in that situation where I don't order a drink or I order something different from the menu. And then when they ask me, talk about just, why it is or downplay it.
Just real simple.
Yeah.
Really downplay it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, Whenever I would go on a date, I would just order, pasta, marinara, and some steamed vegetables, et cetera, and tell them no cheese. And then I might get the, oh, you like a vegetarian or a vegan? I'd say, yeah, pretty much, no big deal. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, for me, I get, so I don't even eat pasta, I eat just like potatoes and salad. So, vegetables. Yeah. So, I guess there's a lot of places, especially in Ohio, that I can't find something to eat, which causes me anxiety, but I suppose I could try, another experiment and say, well, if it makes me feel better to, order something somewhat, quote unquote normal, I guess, in other people's eyes and not have to, explain myself away the first date. Yeah. I don't know.
I would say this. Is there anything at restaurants where you can eat off the conventional menu, like Asian food, Thai food, anything like that?
Yes, Asian food. There's always the rice and veggies that I can get, and sushi with just, vegetables and stuff like that.
Yeah, so just tell the fool that that's what you want to do.
Okay.
So if they invite you out, you say, I'd love to. What I really like is, like Chinese food, Japanese food, Thai food, something like that. That'd be great. Just cue them. Okay?
Totally.
That way they would just soon not have to think this through and try to guess what you would like. We tell them exactly what direction they need to go, and then we go there, and then we order our healthy Asian food, and we're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Step around the problem.
Well,
yeah.
So that is great. So then I had another question. So it's kind of a nightmare sifting through trying to find who the casual maiders are and the pair bonders. Mm-hmm. So I think part of me wants to, what am I trying to say? Like write stuff off and say, no. I think there really could be a pair bonder. So I guess I'm, I know like the 10 paid date rule, but I haven't actually really gotten that far with the people that I've been on dates with. There's one person in particular that I was really interested in, and he was really forthcoming with information, things about his past, and was, very clearly casual mater from a young age. He's about 10 years older than me, and wasn't faithful to his ex who he had been with for a while. But then all of a sudden he's realized he wants a relationship and, he doesn't want to sleep around anymore. And so I'm wondering if it's possible if it's like a dynamic scale, if it's possible for a casual mater to all of a sudden switch and want a pair bond, or is that something that's, is it a front to try and get other things because he's read me, like the type of person I am? Does that question make sense?
Well, actually, you're confusing a couple of different things. So there's a little bit of confusion here. So we're going to kind of clear a few things up. This isn't a question of a guy that's a casual mater versus a pair bonder. He's a cheater. Different. Okay. There's a lot of people that may be that may play casual mating strategy for even long periods of time, but that doesn't make them unfaithful partners. Okay, big difference. So this guy's admitting to the fact that he was in relationships and cheated on people at least once. Okay, maybe multiple times. So that's a big red flag, I would say. that doesn't mean a person's a criminal, just means that it's exceedingly likely to happen again in the future. And I'm never a believer in, now I've really learned the error of my ways, I'm going to turn over and that's a terrible joke. Okay. That isn't how it works.
Or
people's
something
behavior,
so fantastic about me that he's just finally seen the light, which I know is not true.
Right. So, now, the difference here is that you can have someone whose life has been dominated by casual mating, but then meets somebody and feels completely different about the situation. So now it's like finally you've made them an offer they can't refuse. Okay, so that's different. But this guy with his history, you know, this is a pretty checkered history, I would say, probably. And, you know, not that you, I would still, certainly I'd be playing this guy 10 paid dates all the way and see if we can smoke our way through his self-delusional, you know, pair bond advertisement and see what happens. Okay. And turns out that all you get is very strong pair bond signals, then, you know, and if you're really into the guy, then what the hell? Then you take a shot at it. But you're, he's about 10 years older than you, and what's his age?
He'll be 40, I think, and really soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the two of you, so you're 30-ish. So as a result of this, you've got a little bit of time to burn on something that looks very exciting, but not a lot of time to burn, depending upon what you're thinking and feeling about having kids.
That's interesting because I have one child. She's almost three, and I thought I was done after that. Mm-hmm. But then I think now that maybe that was due to the relationship that I was in. So since I've been out and single and I've been kind of dating, I got this baby fever again, and I've thought, kind of want another baby. And he said at first that he was not interested at all because he has an 18-year-old. And I kind of said, well, I could go either way, which I think I could, but there is something, you know, deep down that kind of wants to have another child.
Well, so that's, I would simply say, I mean, I'm not in the habit of trying to play crystal ball with a given relationship dynamics. What we want to do is we want to play reasonable strategy. And so reasonable strategy is that if we're really into somebody and we're getting all the cues that they're really into us, then great. And we play that thing out, and you know, it either gets better or it gets worse. That's how it works. I think one of the most remarkable mistakes that I will see people make over and over again is that there's plenty of evidence, you know, 3 to 6 months in, that it's not very good. And it's clearly not getting better. In other words, the people are not feeling like they're, quote, married psychologically and feeling like they're best friends and feeling like that, as far as they can tell, you know, they wouldn't want to live without each other. Now, that's not how they're feeling. They're in a negotiation process. They're, quote, trying to work on their relationship, and they're having some good times, but there's conflict. It's like, you know what? If that's your situation, you're in the wrong place for anything long term. So I think it's more about being alert to the cues that are actually quite evident in how it is that we feel and how that partner is reacting to us.
Okay. So if I've already, how do I put this? If he's already had access to my eggs, okay, which has happened. Then
oh my God.
I guess in my mind, I'm thinking, is it confusing me and my Stone Age brain? Cause I'm thinking, okay, well now I've got this risk of, you know, whatever, but he has still been pursuing me, even though I've tried to kind of cut it off a couple times cause I've been concerned about these red flags. So his relentless pursuit kind of makes me wonder, like, well, maybe he is really pair bonding, or maybe it's like this thing that he can't crack, like he can't get to me, or you know, I don't know. It's very confusing to me.
No, okay, let's. It shouldn't really be that confusing. So let's see if you're just overthinking this. Okay, so you guys have been going together for how long?
A little over 2 months.
Okay, 2 months. All right. So been together. We've been hanging out for 2 months, and the And so what are the red flags that are bothering you?
He's displayed, like, very early on, kind of used the word, you know, love. Just kind of how he talks about other women. Like, I'm kind of insecure as it is. And like I said, he, you know, is very open and honest about his past with women. And like a part of me, I don't want a judgment that if he's, you know, being so honest. What are some other red flags? I guess, so I've tried to cut it off several times. And he finds ways to contact me, and
Hold on a second.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Let's talk about, we've got very recent data here, so we should be able to go through your memory banks and get some clarity on some things. What was the first time you tried to cut it off, and why? What were you thinking and feeling?
When was the first time? So this is kind of a big piece of information. So when we first got together, he said he was not interested in dating anybody else, and he only wanted to date me, and he had always dated multiple girls at once, but why would he confuse himself because he's found what he wanted? And I had already made the decision I was taking a break from dating because it was exhausting and like a nightmare, it felt like. But I had kept talking to him. So I just had this funny feeling because he would kind of go radio silent sometimes, like just different texting or, you know, whatever, what's the word I'm looking for, you know, frequency. And there was one day that I just had this feeling, and I logged on, and there he was active on the dating site. And I just said, you know what, thank you, but no thank you. Like, I don't, I never asked him, you know, to do this. But I said, that's a lie. And that's kind of like a red flag to me. So then I got rid of, I blocked him and everything. And then, he contacted me through
down.
A friend.
Hold on, slow down for me. So, let me get this straight. So this is quite early in the relationship. And let me ask, so had you guys slept together at this point?
No.
Oh, you hadn't. Okay. So you hadn't slept together at this point, but he's telling you that he, in the past, he dated multiple people at once, but now he wasn't going to do that because he's found the one and he's all in.
Right.
Okay, so he does this, and then you, as this must be what, 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in? How deep are we in here?
Maybe a week or two after we had met, because we had talked for a couple weeks before we got the chance to meet.
Okay, so you talked a couple of weeks, then you meet, okay, and then what? At this first meeting, he's slobbering all over himself and telling him that. He's saying, "Hey,
he
found the one." Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, he did, and that was another question I had, was if someone who's pair bond material would try to sleep with you on the first date, because that did happen that he tried, and I said no. So, yes, that's what happened.
Okay. So on the first date, he says, I've dated multiple people at once usually, but now I wouldn't do that. Why would I do that? I found the one. And by the way, let's have sex. That goes down on date one. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think it was shortly after date one. I got my timeline confused because it was, but that's pretty close to what happened.
All right. Close enough. All right. So now we continue. So we now go on for the next couple weeks. And how often do you then see him? Do you see him, you know, like pretty soon after the first meeting? Well, tell me about where the first meeting sort of was. Was it a dinner date? What was it?
No, it was actually, I had just gotten back from vacation and I said, I don't have any energy, and I had to work the next day, and I said, I have to go grocery shopping, and he said, oh, I'll meet you, we'll go grocery shopping. So that's what we did, and then I made the very foolish decision and said, well, I have to take these groceries home, and that was probably what seemed like an open invitation, because he came to my house, which, yeah.
Okay, so he came to your house. That was your first date, okay? So, it was not a paid date.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So paid date number one, he's in your house. Yeah, he's in your house, and we're putting away groceries. And and then he's saying pretty soon, like he's pretty gaga about you, and he tries to sleep with you. Okay, fair enough. I mean, that's casual mating 101. Not, that doesn't mm-hmm. make anybody a criminal. It just means that mm-hmm. you qualified for casual mating. Okay. All right. So then tell me what happens after that.
Yeah. So then we saw each other pretty frequently. And mm-hmm. that week, I don't remember how many times, but it was pretty sure. frequently.
Right.
And I slept with him pretty early on, way before 10 mm-hmm. date dates.
Sure.
So.
Okay. Yeah, that's all fine. No crime there. It's,
but
the only,
but
the
then,
only, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry to cut you off, but then it happened a second time. So like I said, I don't remember the whole timeline of everything, but mm-hmm. it was again another time after we had been together that I saw him. It was after the second time I saw him active on the dating site again. And that was the second time that I freaked out.
Okay, so what you're telling me is after you've slept with the guy and mm-hmm. he's told you he doesn't sleep, he doesn't date multiple people because now there'd be no reason to now because he's finally found the one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now we see him on the dating site.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
Which makes me feel a little crazy because I'm checking, but I just had this suspicion and then he had excuses, of course. And yeah.
Of course. But I think we know that he didn't really feel like he'd found the one
mm-hmm.
that, you know, obviously. So that's all, you know, that's all reasonable. You might say, oh, well, gosh, what he found was he found a pretty good one that was worth sleeping with. But, you know, that doesn't hurt to check the market, see if something a little bit better has come in here in the last week or so. So,
mm-hmm.
but that, you know, that's fine. But the point is that what he's saying and what he's doing are certainly at variance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it would be a very expensive, irresponsible thing to do that if you met somebody that you thought was fabulous and was pair bond
mm-hmm.
material, why the hell would you go on the dating site?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a pretty ballsy, irresponsible thing to do with your life.
Mm-hmm.
You're some 40-year-old guy who wants to settle down. You've had a long, you know, checkered history with the females. And, you know, nobody's been worth it to you to be exclusive all these years. And now you meet the one. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell are you doing on the dating site so that she can see
mm-hmm.
that you're doing this? Yeah, this is BS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is casual dating strategy.
That's what, so then I guess why is he so hell-bent on keeping me, like, on the hook?
Just,
I don't.
A wild guess. Is this guy a salesman?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
He happens
this is
to
classic,
be.
This is classic salesman. What salesmen do. So salesmen, unlike normal people, salesmen
okay.
have a little sociopathic streak.
Okay.
So
yeah.
exactly. So they are going to keep pushing. They're aggressive and they're going to not take no for an answer. Okay.
Which explains the relentless pursuit.
Sure. Absolutely.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I know this guy's a loser. Get rid of him.
Okay.
Done.
Yeah. There we go. And the funny thing is I actually turned 10 paid dates. Lesson learned. I turned him on to this podcast and he's very, very fond of you. So
yeah, there you go. Oh, well. Hey, you know what?
So,
just like a good, a really good crook actually loves a great detective. You
right.
know what I mean? They can really appreciate somebody that can appreciate their art.
Right, or that you see right through. You can tell what's going on. So then, okay, as I go back out there, so then what, I guess, what I'm trying to detect, like weed out the casual maters, you are
mm-hmm.
saying someone that tries, because in my mind I thought, well, maybe if a pair bonder is just really
mm-hmm.
excited and they're just a man
mm-hmm.
and like, are they going to
sure.
kiss you and let their hands wander? Are they going to ask for, you know, pictures before they've even, like, you know, after the first date? Because this is all stuff that I've experienced that makes my brain, you know, kind of go into overdrive trying to figure out, are they just being a guy or are they casual maters?
Well, here's the thing. The when you start, let me try to describe what you have inside of all males' brains is you have two programs. You have casual mating program and pair bond programs. So they all have both buttons inside their head.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a guy is either a pair bonder or a casual mating strategy player. all of them play both strategies. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the let's suppose so both buttons are in there, but the two things, both genetic variation and the context of the situation, gives rise to what it is that you see. So, for example, the if it turns out that the genes find themselves located inside of a body that is very handsome and suave, then you can better believe that the casual mating strategy button will get hit a lot more often. And that's because mm-hmm. there's going to be opportunities for it. Okay. If it turns out that it's finds itself in kind of a nerdy body with a lot of ability for mathematics, okay, that it has that sort of a thing and not a lot of freaking social suave, then it's likely that it's not going to get circumstances that will activate the casual mating chip. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be in those circumstances. It's not going to be getting positive feedback from females that casual mating might fly. And so as a result, it's going to have to play pair bond strategy. So mm-hmm. Now it could be that you could have nerd fish and could be, and he, the only legitimate chance he's got is to play pair bond strategy, but he's so genetically bizarre that he just is absolutely a casual mating player, you know, no matter what. This mm-hmm. is going to be a porn addict.
mm-hmm, right.
Okay? He'll spend his .com money that he got in on in strip bars. Okay. Uh-huh. He's not actually going to be pursuing casual mating strategy at the bars because there'll be no possible way for him to translate that into any success.
Mm-hmm.
So keep in mind that males have both strategies in their heads. So when they meet somebody they find attractive, the casual mating strategy is absolutely active.
Mm-hmm.
And the pair bond strategy isn't necessarily active at all. Pair bond strategy comes about with a deeper analysis of the female's brain.
Mm-hmm.
He can't really be playing pair bond strategy until he finds out what the hell's in that brain.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, the pursuit of the eggs begins with casual mating strategy. That's where it starts. Okay. That's why we want to stop it. So mm-hmm. unless you don't want to stop it. Okay, if you're weak in the knees and it's the right time of the month for your hormones to be raging, then hey, what the hell? Use birth control mm-hmm. and don't get infected. But the point is that if that's a waste of time for you, then what you want to do is you want to put up the stop sign to the casual mating strategy button. You want to shut mm-hmm. it off. Okay? So once we shut it off, we find out whether or not the pair bond strategy is active. We'll find out. Okay? If the pair bond strategy is active, in other words, as the person has talked to you for an hour and they now have learned an awful lot more about what's inside your head, they're now reading the other half of the genetic code. They read the first half of the genetic code in a few seconds by looking at you, looking at your body and then watching you move. So they got mm-hmm. an estimate of all your bodily contours. They got an estimate of what you would look like naked. And they've decided whether or not you're above the bar for casual mating strategy. If you're above the bar for casual mating strategy, they'd like to have sex with you, okay? Mm-hmm. And now if they're going to get any positive feedback, they're going to be pursuing it till they get stopped. And if they're a salesman, when they get stopped, they just push some more. That's how mm-hmm. you make sales. That's how you get salesman of the month at the Chevy dealership. You don't right. take no for an answer.
Right. Well, it's okay? interesting because the other date that I'm thinking of was also a salesman, and because my fear is that I'm writing off these guys that could be potentially interested in pair bonding because of their behavior very mm-hmm. early on. So
got it. Well, what can I say? If you date salespeople, mm-hmm. you're much more likely to get hit very hard behind casual mating strategy. And they're mm-hmm. designed to be duplicitous, okay? Mm-hmm. They have to be crafty, and they have to be willing to be opaque psychologically. So they've got wheels behind the wheels that are maneuvering and watching and responding very well to the prospect. Okay. You don't, you're not a good salesperson without good social skill and the ability to be a chameleon. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can start smelling that what's going to fly is to do a lot of pair bond noises, then they're going to start making pair bond noises. That's what they're going to do. Like this guy. I love you.
So then for somebody who is very agreeable like myself, and I'm always concerned and want everybody to be comfortable, when I find myself around these types of men, I don't like have an easy time shutting it down. It's like, oh, it's okay. Right. Like I'm just easygoing. And I guess I just have to work on my skills of saying,
you only got, let's say that the end of this game, a really good estimate is that the game's over by your 39th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But it may not be over. Okay, it may not be over, but just a really good guess. There's a lot of women I've met that were no longer fertile at 38. They were out of luck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to call it your 39th birthday, and you're, what, are you about 30, 31 now?
Yeah, I'm 31.
31, so 8 times 12, you got 96 eggs left.
Okay.
Okay, so they're, you know, reasonably valuable. And so you should look at this depending upon how motivated you would be to have future children, which it sounds like you're reasonably motivated, then we got to be careful with these eggs. All right. So I would defend them. Realize they're coming after major assets potentially. So this guy got to the major assets for a couple of months behind just salesmanship. That's what it was. Clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Casual mating all the way. Now remember that don't feel too foolish that the male brain has been shaped by evolution to lie. The lie that it is specifically designed to tell is to tell the female that, you know what, all those other girls didn't mean anything. You're just so special. It's incredible. It's very different for me. I'm ready to give it all up to just be with you. Just give me the eggs.
Right.
Drop the chalupa.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that's what, and salesmen are going to be better at this game than normal people. I've never seen any scientific evidence on this. That's because my friends in academia are too nerdy to pay attention to things that would be really exciting to see. But they really ought to see how much casual mating goes on among male salespeople.
Okay? Yeah.
Female salespeople, I'm sure, are quite a bit different just because the organism's a different organism. But no, male salespeople, I will bet, get considerably more casual mating action than the average guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So be careful there. Defend the eggs.
So be
guard
careful.
Them.
Guard my eggs. 10 paid dates. Don't necessarily, like, it's okay then to not write off a guy that's aggressive right off the bat. If I still defend my eggs and I put out the vibe, if I put out my
casual mating vibes
that I'm not interested.
You know what? You know what? Dress a little frumpy.
Okay.
Dress a little frumpy.
Okay.
Think to yourself, how would a librarian dress on this date?
Well, you know what is funny is that was what one of the guys said. He said, well, if I had to describe you, it'd be like a hot, nerdy librarian. I made a really conservative profile like you suggested.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, and okay. So just
sounds
keep
like
doing
you're
that.
You're doing a lot of good things. Okay. We just got a little tweaking of the strategy here, and keep in mind, they're coming after gold. All right.
Right.
So you got to defend the gold or they're going to get it.
Right. I will defend.
All right. Now we don't really have as much time as you think. You got a whole lifetime and none of this is critical and you've got a daughter and that's all good. Okay. However, if you were hoping to be 36 years old and to have a child with Mr. Wright, then we need to be meeting Mr. Wright by 33.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you're going to want to spend a couple of years finding out if it's Mr. Right before you go to the enormous risk of having a child, right? So that means that really, and it, maybe you have that child at 37, so maybe you need to meet Mr. Right by 34. But anyway, mm-hmm. you slice it, it's not really 96 eggs. It's 36 eggs.
Mm-hmm.
You got about 3 years to find somebody that you might want to have a child with.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot of time, okay? So
no.
let's not spend it on the salesman of the month.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Sound good?
All right. Advice taken. And then one last question, because my dad loves the show, and he's been dying to know, and so I promised him I would ask. He's heard people come on the show and mention that they are disagreeable people, and they know this about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And he is baffled as to how somebody who is disagreeable can know that they are disagreeable, because in their mind, shouldn't everything always be a fair, or they're getting less? Does that make sense, the question?
Yes. No, I understand what he's saying. And the reason they can tell is because they're frustrated and they're getting in a lot of arguments. So they can, from their subjective view, they're completely reasonable. But they can also tell that they're disagreeable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's how
I
that
see.
Would work. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he was with a disagreeable person for a bit and was frustrated that they could never see. And I think he was just in his mind going, how does a disagreeable person get to this point? So.
Well, this is also, there's a characteristic that I don't think is seen in the Big Five. The Big Five doesn't capture everything, and there's going to be many things that it doesn't capture, but maybe some combination does, but it's what we call insight. So different people are much more psychologically minded than others. And so there are disagreeable people that just would be utterly nonplussed at the discussion that they're disagreeable. They'd be like, what the hell do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
I'm perfectly reasonable. It's you people that have the problem.
Right.
All right. So, but there are people that are disagreeable that are more sophisticated in the way their mind is built, and that they can see from the evidence that they themselves are disagreeable. Okay. So that's how that would work. Yeah.
Oh, very interesting.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you very much,
Jesse,
for your help.
Absolutely. Guard the eggs, play safe.
I will
and,
guard my eggs.
And if you have another question, please feel free to call us in or write to me and say hello.
All right, I will. Thank you very much, Dr. Lyle. You've changed my life, so
very
appreciate
good.
It.
Best of luck with all.
All right, thank you. Take care.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
If you like what you hear,
Bye-bye.
Subscribe, write us a review, or share this podcast with a friend. To send in a question or read more about the show, you can visit our website at www.beatyourgenes.org. Until next time, this is Nate G and Dr. Lyle with Beat Your Genes, an evolutionary psychology podcast for finding happiness in the modern world.